it. Bye-bye.
This is your Orioles Radio Network Game Rewind.
Now, the Orioles had a chance to get to 500 a couple of games ago, but they've lost two straight. And so tonight, they try to get back in the win column as they take on the Detroit Tigers, that is, in Game 3 of a four-game series. Last night, Kevin Gausman gave up one run and only three hits in seven innings, but that wasn't good enough when Michael Givens came out of the bullpen and surrendered a game-losing grand slam in the eighth inning. Tough night, tough loss. Buck and Rock in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Rock Abatko with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, tough loss last night. Justin Upton, the grand slam off Michael Givens. Givens hadn't given up a run in his last 12 outings. It's been so good. Overall, do you feel like he was still making good pitches, maybe just that one mistake?
Well, you know what's tough, Rock, is he gives up two broken bat flares to right field and just where you can't catch them. And then it kind of, and then it puts a lot of, you know, one pitch. You know, he's a pitch away from putting away a deucey. But you certainly don't want to get the inning to Cabrera and Upton if you can help it. But, you know, Mike's been good. And I think it kind of overshadows the fact that, you know, we only scored two runs. And we had a chance to extend that lead. But, you know, we got a what I thought was a poor decision by the umpire. But, you understand what he's trying to do, the right thing. But, no, Mike's been great. And I like the fact that he came back and got some outs after that. Thought Darren had a real good inning, which was good to see. And, of course, Gausman was outstanding.
Well, Gausman, one run in seven innings. Is a real indication he's turned things around, the fact that after that home run in the first inning, he shut them down, whereas when he was struggling earlier, innings seemed to get away from him.
You know, one of the things I really look for, especially in young pitchers, and you saw it with him and Verlander last night, they gave up a solo home run. And the next pitch was a quality strike. You know, you really look for that. You see so many times with young pitchers, they walk the next guy on four pitches. And it just a reminder how much emotional and mental part of this game plays into it. So, you know, he looked like Verlander last night, and that's a heck of a compliment. We knew Justin coming into last night was really carrying a lot more fastball than he has and was going to be a challenge. But we had a shot to beat a real good pitcher. We just couldn't get that eighth and ninth inning pitch. But I'd like to see us score a couple more runs, but it was tough.
Tim Beckham, four more hits, 11 for 16 since joining the club. Do you like where you've got him slotted now, sixth in the lineup? There are fans already that are saying, well, why not bat him leadoff because of his speed, the fact he's getting on base. Would that ever be a consideration?
Yes. If people knew how many considerations we go through in the course of a night. And there's also that's a big spot for us, and he's doing real well there, which is higher in the order for the most part than where he hit in Tampa. And no, it's something that you always consider, but, he's doing real well there, and, you know, I'm inclined to leave him there for the time being, but it does open up some interesting possibilities in the future.
Rock Abatko back with Orioles manager Buck Showalter. Tonight's manager's report, Trey Mancini not only in the lineup but in the field, so we can assume that the knee's okay now?
Well, we all know what the word assume means as we take it down, but no, all our indications are, you know, we'll watch him in BP, but he said he feels good, and that day off and the treatment that he got, he thinks nobody's going to be 100%, but the lineup works with him in left field, and he feels good about playing it, so do the trainers. We'll see what the batting practice brings.
Now, I assume Wellington Castillo would have been starting tonight anyway, but how is Caleb?
He's progressing well. We'll wait and see. The throwing part of it we think is going to be okay. It's more about how well he can grip a bat. But if I know Caleb, he'll – I know John Russell was texting with him early in the day to see how he was doing and to make sure we were covered for tonight, and got some positive responses from him. Talking to Richie, our trainer, about him, we feel like he's going to be available by game time.
You mentioned last night there was some consideration given to bringing up a pitcher. You guys didn't do it. It's been exactly 1 month today since you've had to recall a pitcher from the minors. What are some of the factors that have kind of slowed that revolving door all of a sudden?
Well, the two biggest factors are pitchers have gotten deeper into games, and the job that Richard Blyer and Miguel Castro have been able to do from us from the right and left side. The only thing I don't like about tonight, they're a dominant right-handed lineup, and you got a left-handed starter, so you're probably, if you have an issue early, you're going to have to bring in a left-handed reliever. But we feel like Richard's shown the ability to defend himself against left and right-handed hitters, and we should be able to cover ourselves. We're probably a day away, maybe two, from getting Castro back, and we've put Chris Tillman in the bullpen for the time being, so he'll be back also. So we'll be covered there shortly.
And how was that a difficult decision? I know you had a lot of ways you could have gone with Tillman there.
Right. You know, I don't know. There wasn't that many ways you could go. And, you know, Chris knows that he's capable of pitching better. But at this time in the year with 15 or 16 starts, we keep waiting for it to get a little better. But, you know, we're trying to get back in this thing and get in the playoffs. And, you know, we want to put our best foot forward. And, you know, whether it works for him like it does with Ubaldo and the way it did for a guy named Zach Britton on the other side of it, you know, I know Chris, he's going to embrace it and figure out a way to help this team. And I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't make some quality starts for us before this year's over.
Thank you, Bucks. Take back upstairs to Joe Angel.
Jim Hunter and Bobby Dickerson got together before the game tonight. They talked infield play. I bet you Tim Beckham's name came up. We'll find out in a moment on the Orioles Radio Network.
Nighttime baseball at Camden Yards, and Bobby Dickerson up next on the Orioles Radio Network.
It is a gorgeous day here at Oriole Park, game three of the four-game series against Detroit, and visiting with infield and third base coach Bobby Dickerson. And Bobby, over the course of the year, I observe you working with the infielders before games. Obviously, in spring training, you spend a lot of time teaching and putting them through their drills. Why is that important during the course of the regular season to go out there and maybe do a refresher?
Well, it's obviously a game of repetitions. You know, things happen so fast in the game that you want to not really think about it. You want to react and make the right decisions. So that's where the pregame routine comes in, and we try to make sure the guys have a pretty sound fundamental pregame routine and put them through it every day. Now, there's days the way the season gets so long that, you know, Manny or, example, Jonathan or CD or somebody may come out and take 10 or 15 swings and not take their grounders. But for the most part, we stick with a routine. And try to cover things from tag plays to, you know, the bunt defenses to different things throughout the day to make sure that we're on top of it.
Now, this week you got a new infielder as Tim Beckham joined the team on Tuesday. What are the challenges for him trying to blend in with an established infield? And what are the challenges for you as you try to learn his game?
Well, you know, when we first traded for him, I went in and I had our video people pull up all his errors that he's made so far in 17 and try to see some really good plays that he also made so I could see the goods and bads with him. I wanted to be prepared when I met him so I could, you know, be somewhat familiar. I knew I was familiar with him from playing against us and watching him watch some of the things he did against us, for example. But you know, it's just really, it's going to take time. We don't have a spring training to go through. You know, we don't have 3 or 4 hours a day early because he's playing in the game at night. You don't want to kill him. It's a fine line. But, you know, we got two really good plus defenders on each side of him, guys that have been with us for a while, and that always helps. And J.J. Hardy's still around, and when we're talking about things and looking at video or different things, he's there to help with that. But Tim's a talented guy. He's got all the abilities. You know, his hands are fine. His arm strength's fine. His feet are fine. It's just some of the things he may hear a little bit different than what he's been through before, and hopefully he can blend right in with us.
Now, you mentioned the hands and the feet. As you observe, in particular, with a new player, what is the most critical component to you for being able to field well and field consistently well?
Well, I think, you know, one of the advantages I've had with Manny and Jonathan is being with them so young. And something I really believe in is I don't really talk about fielding a baseball. I talk about catching it. It's a fine line. I mean, it you know, someone says, what's this, a semantic? It's just same thing. Catch it, field it, whatever. Not really. I mean, I'm watching Tim right now. A lot of the things he's doing is what an infielder looks like. You know, circle the ball, field through it. And I'm just trying to slow his clock down a little bit and tell him, look for a short hop or a long hop to catch. You know, once you have control, if you have balance when you catch the ball, you'll have more balance when you throw the ball. Although a really good infielder like Manny or Jonathan looks like there's fluidness through their play. If they catch a ground ball and throw to first, it looks like it's one piece. If you really break it down, there's a separation. There's a catch, transfer, and throw. And if you see the forehand play Jonathan made last night running in the right field, you could see him focus on just catching the ball. Then it was like a two-step breakdown, transfer, and then slow himself down, make an accurate throw. And right now, watching Tim, it's still kind of one of those all-inclusive. The play is made with the throw almost coming before the catch, and I think that could cause some mistakes, some ball security mistakes, and that's one of the things we're going to talk to him about. And again, it's tough right now. It's tough at this time of the year, and to break it down and spend times, you know, we need him to play. We need him to be Tim Beckham. We need him to be himself and not a robot out there, and that's a fine line.
Is it helpful for a player like him to come to a team like this that has a platinum glove winner at third base, and Jonathan Scope is a gold glove caliber second baseman, and in my view, from what I've seen, the best fielder at that position in the American League? Is it easy for a player to come in and just blend in particular with the tutelage that you're giving him?
It's a tough thing for any player to come to a new environment. I tell you what, he's done it the right way. He's come in swinging the bat well. He brings energy. He as soon as he hits a ball, if you notice offensively, as soon as he's hit the ball, he becomes a base runner, which is really refreshing. The ball leaves the bat, and he's thinking two bases on a single base batted ball. He's thinking three bases on a two base batted ball. You know, the defense has to stop him. You can feel his energy, the way he's attacking it offensively, and the same thing defensively. When he's taking his grounders, he's putting a lot of passion into it, and guys are buying into him as much as he needs to buy into to us.
Hey, finally, you had to be beaming the other night on that triple play, because not only is it exciting, you rarely see it, but they played it perfectly, and it was so easily turned. It was a thing of beauty.
Yeah, it's funny because, like I said when it started, I really talk about making sure you catch the ball first, and Manny had committed to turning to going to third base to touch the base. I saw as soon as the ball was hit, he had made his commitment to go get third base, and he, fortunate for him, the ball didn't do anything weird, and he was able to catch it. That's what I told him after. I said, Manny, you better make sure you catch that ball first before you try to turn a triple play with it. We were fortunate. Manny's a super talent, as we know. The fundamental guy in me would like to see him stay on that ball a little longer to make sure he contains it, but he made it as a running play, and you know, wow, what a outcome. You know, like me and Mike Bordy talk about a lot, we don't want to take strengths away from players, and that's one of Manny's strengths. He's an athletic defender, and we don't want to turn him into a robot either.
Bobby Dickerson, outstanding third base coach and maybe the best instructor for infielders in all of Major League Baseball. Let's not forget, back in 2012, he was the roving minor league instructor, and he helped transform Manny Machado from a shortstop to a third baseman, and Manny now may be the best third baseman in the major leagues. O's and Tigers from Camden Yards. Stay tuned now for Orioles baseball.
All right, hello again, baseball fans. Joe Mangio, Jim Hunter back at Oriole Park at Camden Yards in the win column tonight. Orioles ending a little two-game losing skid as they win this one by a score of 5-2. Now, Jim, there's some awfully good pitching in this game. I mean, Darren O'Day went one scoreless. Brad Brock, 1 2/3 scoreless. And then Zach Britton in the eighth inning, he went 1 1/3 scoreless. They were all outstanding. But maybe the most amazing performance of the evening was turned in by Wade Miley, because somehow Wade Miley threw 113 pitches in only 5 innings, and somehow, Jim Hunter, he allowed just 2 runs.
Yeah, it's amazing, and he allowed the 2 runs 3 batters into the game. And he struck out Kinsler leading off, and then Castellano singled, and on an 0-2 pitch, he allows a 2-run home run to Justin Upton, but then somehow found it. And that's the thing about Miley, Joe, why it's so frustrating for him and frustrating for the Orioles, is that as a veteran pitcher with good stuff, he should be more consistent. But he is so erratic within the strike zone, all the 3-2 counts. He has more 3-2 counts than any pitcher in the major leagues, and it elevates the pitch count. I mean, you look at his line, not bad, 5 innings, 2 runs on 4 hits. But for Miley now, 15 starts in his 23 starts, he has gone 5 innings or less. So for Miley to be able to win, and we saw how Verlander won last night. He went 7 innings, and then the Tigers scored in the 8th. He was still a pitcher of record. He got the win. At least he kept it as is. I mean, he really did a good job with that. But if he could only get more consistent within the strike zone, because he does have good stuff.
Well, I thought he was gutsy. I thought he was very gutsy tonight. I mean, somehow getting it done, hanging in, giving his team a chance to win. Even though 113 pitches in 5 innings, he got a big double play ball in the first inning, Jim, and to me that was big. It kept him in the game.
Oh, yeah, I agree. I mean, if there's a big base hit there, because after the home run, he allowed a walk and a single, so there's 2 on, 2 runs in, and still only 1 down, but able to get that double play, and then he settled down a bit. He had a 4-batter second inning. He had a 5-batter third inning. He finally had a 3-up, 3-down inning in the fourth and a 3-up, 3-down inning in the fifth. So he ended up real strong, retiring 7 in a row. But I agree. I think that double play ball was the difference in the game. If Martinez got a hit there, you probably would have seen the bullpen get active there in that first inning.
We saw Darren O'Day pitching in the sixth inning. Now, Buck Showalter, before the game tonight, indicated that there were two pitchers who had to pitch tonight. Now, he didn't mention names, but they were Brock and Britton, and they both pitched, and they both pitched very well. In fact, for Britton, Jim, one of those games where for the closer, the save situation presented itself in the eighth inning.
And Buck did not hesitate to go to Zach, so he ends up with a four-out save. Brock had not pitched since Tuesday, and he was really strong. It was almost as if the little break strengthened him a little bit. He had some good giddy-up in the fastball, an inning and two-thirds scoreless. He allowed just one hit. And then Britton, not only a four-out save, he retired all four batters he faced. So Zach, who hadn't pitched in a while, in fact, he hadn't pitched since Monday when he was the winning pitcher in the walk-off win against Kansas City. And Brock hadn't pitched since Tuesday, so now he's got to figure out how to get Donnie Hart in there and Richard Blyer in there. Donnie Hart has not worked since last Sunday in Texas, but real good job. And Buck Showalter, again, with a lead late in the game, able to mix and match. And Darren O'Day bridged the gap because Miley only went five, and O'Day got that big scoreless inning in the sixth.
Orioles hit three home runs here tonight. Adam Jones hit number 9998. And then Castillo hit number 9999. And then an historic night tonight, and it was Tim Beckham, of all people, who came up and delivered number 10,000 in franchise history. Going back to 1954, Orioles had a big contest on Orioles.com/homerun to see if the fans could guess who would hit number 10,000, and I bet you not many guessed Tim Beckham.
I wonder if any guessed
because
Tim Beckham.
Because a few days ago, he wasn't an Oriole.
That's right. He was acquired on Monday, joined the team on Tuesday. So he's played in five games. He has gone 13 for 20. And how about this, Joe? He's homered in three straight games. First time in his career he's done that. He has an RBI in four straight games and all five games during his five-game hitting streak as an Oriole, multi-hit game. So he has been a welcome addition and already paying dividends. And the other thing I really respect about him, 3 days in a row I've observed him out there early working on his defense with Bobby Dickerson.
And J.J. Hardy.
And J.J. Hardy as well, that's right.
Well, the home run he hit tonight, Beckham, was the kind of home run that Chris Davis hits.
Yeah.
I mean, it was launched. It was straight up and kept on going.
Yeah, it was a majestic shot. And those add-on runs late in close games, they are welcome.
Wade Miley began his game in artistic fashion. And now the 0-2 to him. Fly ball, deep left. He has done it again. Into the seats in left field. That's a two-run home run. And for the third consecutive game, the Tigers have homered in the first inning. And they've got a 2-0 lead. And for the third consecutive game, Justin Upton homers. So, yeah, he's hot. And little did we know that those two runs would be the only runs that Detroit would get the entire game. In that first inning, after the home run, Miguel Cabrera was walked, and then Mikey Matuk got a base hit. So Wade Miley was in real serious trouble until Victor Martinez came up to hit, and that's when Miley got what he had to get. Here's the 0-2 pitch. Well, chopper it out toward Beckham. He's got it. The feed to Scope, and the relay. There it is. There's that double play that we wondered about and something Miley sorely needed after 30 pitches in the first inning. He gives up two runs. Yeah, but that was it. 2-0 at that point. In the third, one out, bases empty. Adam Jones a double. After Machado lined out, that's when Scope came up and cashed in.
And the 2-2, Scope's lines at the left center field. There's a base hit. Scope delivers. Here's Jones to score. Jonathan on his way to second base, and he has a clutch two-out RBI double, and it's a 2-1 game.
So there you go. It's a one-run game until the bottom of the fifth inning with one out and the bases empty. And Jim and I were talking. And I told Jim I had this feeling in my gut. I don't know, felt something weird. And as I was saying, don't go away because somebody's going to hit a home run here. Adam Jones, here's the pitch. Fly ball, deep left. Way back there, Mr. Jones. Paint that baby bye-bye. I told you. Number 20, Mr. Jones. He has tied the game in the fifth inning. Yeah, that's a good thing, too, because Wade Miley, after that first inning, even though he kept throwing a lot of pitches, boy, he got very stingy after that. He got him 1-2-3 in the fourth inning, And then came back in a 1-2-3 fifth. So 3-2. And the left-hander again delivers. And Upton, swing and a miss. He got him. He got him on a fastball at 93. Wade Miley, his second consecutive 1-2-3. He has retired 7 in a row. And he's thrown 113 pitches in 5 innings. And yet somehow he's allowed just 2 runs. Wow. Somehow that's what he did. And he winds up with a no decision. A home run by Adam Jones tied the game. And then it was Castillo in the bottom of the 7th inning that put him ahead to stay.
And the 2-0, swinging a high fly ball right center field. That ball is carry. Back it goes, and that ball is gone. It's into the bleachers. And Castillo has given the Orioles a 3-2 lead in the 7th. Castillo stays hot. Since the All-Star break, he has been very, very consistent. He got ahead 2-0. He goes with the pitch, and he hits it out to right center field.
So there you go, one-run lead. Oriole bullpen tonight was marvelous. Darren O'Day with a scoreless 6. Brad Brock with a 1-2-3 7th. And then came out for the 8th inning when he struck out the first 2 batters, but then gave up a single to Miguel Cabrera, who eventually wound up at second base on a Trey Mancini error. So there's a situation in a one-run game in the 8th inning where the opponents had the would-be tying run in scoring position out there at second base. That's a save situation. And again, Buck Showalter did not hesitate. He brought in Zach Britton to get the final out in the 8th inning. And the Oriole lefty, he delivers. Matu gets a tamper back to Britton. He's going to spin. He's going to throw him out. Inning is over. So Britton comes in with a tying run at second base and 2 outs, and he gets her done with a tamper. There you go. And Britton also got her done in the 9th inning. Britton on the rubber. Takes a look. Castillo flashing signs. Britton likes one, says yes. He's ready. Hicks cocks the bat. Here it comes. Bang! And a miss. Struck him out. Ball game is over. Orioles back in the win column. After a couple of nasty losses, tonight they beat the Tigers. And Tim Beckham continues to amaze. Castillo had a big night. Adam Jones had a big night. Britton gets a save. And now on Sunday afternoon, the Orioles have a chance to split the 4-game series. Yeah, that'll be tomorrow. Now, Beckham, we mentioned Beckham. Indeed, he continues to amaze. He was 0-for-2 until he singled in the 6th inning. And then he came up with 1 away and the bases empty in the bottom of the 8th inning. And he electrified the crowd. Well, Tim Beckham tonight had been 0-for-2 in his game. People were wondering, what's the matter with this guy? But then it came up in the 6th, and he got a base hit. So all is well. He's 1-for-3 tonight. He's hit safely now in every game as an Oriole. 5. Fly ball, left center. My goodness. Reckon Beckham. Wave it bye-bye. Way back in the seats in left center. Man, did he launch that one. It went straight up, and it kept on going. A no-doubter to make it 4-2 Orioles. There you go. Talk about electrifying. 34,000 at the ballpark tonight, and they demanded a curtain call, and Beckham gave it to them. So it made them happy. So big night for Beckham, big night for the Orioles. They're back in the win column, beat Detroit 5-2. In a moment, Jim Hunter, he's got Tim Beckham. He's got Buck Showalter. He's got everything on the Orioles radio network.
Jim Hunter at Camden Yards as the Orioles snapped a 2-game losing streak, beating the Tigers 5-2, and they came back from 2-0 down in the first inning. 3 home runs in the game, including Tim Beckham's in the 8th, the 10,000th home run in Orioles franchise history. Time to hear from the skipper. Let's head downstairs now. Post-game comments from Buck Showalter.
Did you have Tim Beckham in the 10,000th home run pool? Did that surprise you at all? He's the guy.
Last 4 days, I would. 5. Not when he was in Tampa. No, Timmy's gotten off to a good start here. Love the way the, you know, I think we have the smartest fans in baseball. They understand what's going on. It was nice. It's another one of those things you're in the dugout and you got to step back and realize you're lucky to watch those type of things. It's a lot of home runs.
About three of those tonight.
Who hit the first one, by the way?
Pardon?
Who hit the first
one? That's a good call.
No. Come on, I thought somebody would know that for sure. I'm sorry, what?
I was just three home runs tonight. That's certainly a good way to come back from a 2-0 deficit.
Yeah, well, you know, they, Verhagen, you know, I think there should be a rule you got to draft at least one pitcher from Vanderbilt every year. You know, they. He's had a good background starting. We knew he had that power curve. He got a lot of guys with a curveball. He's got a power curve. That's why sometimes they put on the board slider. But no, he pitched well. When you get a spot start like that, you know, there's going to be some unknown about it. But I thought Wellington had a big blow to put us over the hump. And, you know, Wade gave us, you know, four shutout innings after that and was chomping at the bit to go back out there for the sixth. Said he had 140 in him tonight. But, you know, we were a little short in the bullpen today, right-handed, and, you know, we had to get five out of him to have a chance to match up late, you know, the rest of the game. But that's a lot of zeros to put up against that lineup.
Was it important to you for Zach to have a four-out save, or was that just
– No, I think it was kind of – we had no doubt. But if you'll remember from the past, you know, he had 4 days off. He was going to pitch tonight anyway, and I had told Allen early in the game just to alert him that there's a chance that the situation presented itself that he'd pitch in the eighth inning. He was initially getting up to get ready for Victor Martinez, but you know, things kind of changed in that inning.
Buck, you've been talking about Beckham in the past few days, obviously, but another two hits tonight, three home runs. He's really obviously embraced playing here, and I'm sure you guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's he's given us a little some jolt and a little juice, and you know that's. I know. I think it was Rock was asking me about the batting order and whatever. You know, he's doing real well where he is, which is a little higher. I mean, he's kind of hit all over for them when he played, and you know, one of the things that you know, Dan and I were talking about it, that Dan was intrigued by him, his numbers outside of Trop. I think that's probably as good a weather day as you can have. I asked him a couple of times about it today. But yeah, he's in a good place. He's in a good frame of mind. It's the first time guys change organization, so to speak. They have a tendency to go one way or the other. And obviously he started off in a good way, you know, and handled defensive part of it, probably more importantly so far. Wow, you guys got Saturday night somewhere you got to go. That's it. Lock and load. You got nothing?
So the postgame comments of Buck Showalter, and by the way, Tim Jones looked it up for us. The first home run hit in Orioles franchise history came April 15th, 1954 at Memorial Stadium against the Chicago White Sox. It was a solo home run by Clint Courtney off Virgil Trucks. So number one, April 15th, 1954, number 10,000 on Saturday, August 5th, 2017 by Tim Beckham. And now let's hear from Tim Beckham, who had another big night, fifth consecutive multi-hit game. Following the game, he joined Gary Thorne and Mike Bordick on Masson.
Tim, thank you very much for coming on with us. There's tonight, 2-for-4, solo home run. We were speculating, coming to the Orioles, playing in this ballpark, is there something about both of those things that has loosened things up a little bit for you at the plate?
It's just a good feeling to be around clubs like to swing the bat, man. And we have really good hitters on our squad, and just picking their brains and learning from them, and just going out and competing every day. It's a great feeling.
Oh, it seems like you're just fitting in so well with this clubhouse and this team. And I know that this clubhouse kind of welcomes everybody because they get everybody on the same page right away. You sensing that as well?
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. And it's been fun so far. And they brought me over, and everyone in the clubhouse, everyone on the team welcomed me with open arms. It's like a big family, and it's winning's fun, and we want to keep winning.
You got urged on to do a curtain call. You looked a little reluctant, but I don't think Jonathan was going to let you not go out. Yeah. How did that go?
Yeah, they were calling for me, and I waited a couple pitches and figured it was a little too late to come out, but wanted to give the fans what they wanted, and so I came out and gave them a curtain call.
Well, you should have gotten a curtain call yesterday. It's been pretty impressive what you've been doing here with the Orioles. Sparkham, this is a big win for the team. You know, a couple tough losses back against the Tigers. But this is what this team's known for, the resiliency. And I'm sure you've noticed that here in the early going.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. And well, this club loves to compete, man. And every time we take the field, I'm sure everyone in the clubhouse wants to win the game. So whenever we're down, I mean, I'm sure we're going to do what we can to come back and have fun while we're doing it.
Tim, last question is about this ballpark. You've had a history of good numbers hitting here at Camden Yards. A ballpark you are comfortable and like to hit in?
Yeah, it is. I don't like to think about which ballpark I'm in, but just want to don't want to waste any at bats and take it one at bat at a time and ride it out.
Well, you're doing it magnificently well.
Thank you,
Tim Beckham. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well, Tim Beckham has played five games as an Oriole. He has hit in all five of those games. All five have been multi-hit efforts. He has homered now in three consecutive games. First time in his career he's done that. And he has an RBI in four consecutive games, and the Orioles win it 5-2.